Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari, and on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I dive into what must be done to fix the shoplifting pandemic plaguing New York City. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Stick around, and you are going to hear the absolute lamest message in a bottle story ever. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
When you call my radio show, please, please, please turn your radio down. Don't do with me like you sometimes do with Walter M. Sterling. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned radio host. I'll explain later here on Sterling on Sunday.
Colonoscopies, mammograms, and well visits. A medical update from the Gaffney household coming up.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday. Tonight. And you on the toll-free, 888-688-WALT.
Well, there you have it. I've been telling you for 2 years that Trevor Lawrence is the greatest football player alive today. And as you know, I know nothing about football. He played against the Chargers, the Los Angeles Chargers yesterday, Saturday, and they won by 1 point. Now, that's not the news. The news is that one person bet against the Jaguars, bet $1.4 million, put down a $1.4 million bet that the Jaguars would lose. And they won $1.4 million. And that's why when you listen to the Walter Sterling Show, Sterling on Sunday, and I say, pay attention to this football player, it's time to pay attention because I cannot name another football player in the NFL. That's because I don't know what the parole boards are doing. But I know that Trevor Lawrence is a genius. And I know that at 10 years of age, he could throw a 50-yard pass. And congratulations, that's all I know about sports. I saw One to Free with Trevor Lawrence, 4 or 5 years ago. I went, oh my God, he's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And it's not something you usually say about NFL quarterbacks. I mean, look how stupid Tom Brady has handled his career and his wife and his kids. Wait a minute. Bridget Moynihan, that was Tom Brady's first wife, girlfriend, had the first kid with. Okay, she was the right one, Tom, because she's on Blue Bloods, a hit network television show starring who? Tom Selleck. Stick with that actress. Hang on to that one. Now you have a whiny model who knows what's going on there. We don't even imagine what's going on there. And then, to prove what a cool guy Trevor Lawrence is, he got married the minute he got his first draft pick. The minute he was picked as a first draft choice in the NFL by the Jaguars, he got married that month. Good decision. No distractions, no problems. All you have to do is argue with her about which color rug. That's all you have to do, Trevor. Play the game, argue with Marissa Mowry. What did he do today? What did he do yesterday after he won this game 31-30 against the Los Angeles, what are they called, Chargers? What did he do? Where'd they go? To a fancy steak joint? To Nobu and ordered off-the-menu sushi? Is that what they did? No. These two kids from the South went to a Waffle House. Because if you live in the South or Central something, you see Waffle Houses everywhere. But in too much of the country, there is no Waffle House. It is a rare gourmet treat to find a Waffle House, which are all open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the other weird thing about Waffle Houses is they don't have internet. There's no Wi-Fi in a Waffle House. Therefore, you're going to go there and eat waffles, be quiet, and leave. They understand the key to turning over tables in a restaurant is no Wi-Fi. Waffle House figured that out. A couple years ago, I wanted to do a broadcast from a Waffle House in Painesville, Ohio. because it was near all the big interstates, and I know you, Keith Mortensen, would have stopped by. You would have joined us. Neil Paul, you would have joined us. However, when I found out there was no Wi-Fi in a Waffle House, there was no technical way for us to do a broadcast that I could count on, that would be dependable. You know, get a VPN. I don't know what a VPN is. That's what people use in China, so they're not spied on by the government. They went to a Waffle House because the Lawrences, and yes, she took his name, the Lawrences, Marissa and Trevor, are sensible, down-to-earth folks, and that's what gave them pleasure. Not Nobu, not Craig's. No, they went to Waffle House. That's what normal people do. When you celebrate, you go to Waffle House. And what's the best thing about Waffle House? Not just the waffles. The sausage links at Waffle House are incredible. And they have something on the menu which is the finest breakfast food possible. Cheese and eggs. I've only known one other place in America that serves cheese and eggs. That was the Bagel in Greenwich Village on 4th Street, positively 4th Street, right across the street from where Dylan had his apartment on 4th Street in Greenwich Village. Yes, right across the street, positively 4th Street. Dylan would look out his window on 4th Street in Greenwich Village and be able to see the grill of the Bagel restaurant right across the street. What did they make? They made cheese and eggs. And the way they made it and the way Waffle House makes it is it's this amazing synthesis of cheese and eggs, and you can't tell the difference. It's blended in such a way that it's just, what's the word I'm looking for? It's just beautiful. It's just magnificent. This is a three-hour radio show. Every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific time. And I'm Walter M. Sterling. And you and I get to talk to each other, and we talk about, you know, our day. I never hear enough on my radio about my day. What does my day consist of? Well, I do my show from my laundry room. You're listening to me in my laundry room. Oh, my gosh, WPHT is listening tonight. KMOX is listening tonight. They're not listening to some lame football. And the worst thing about the football, most football coverage on American radio, is the fact that after the football game, there's a 400-hour post-game show that goes over every result in the NFL. Well, okay, but I only care about the game I bet on. Don't you only care about the game you bet on? You don't care about all those other games. And there they are with their 400-hour show, as slow and pedantic as could possibly be. Well, not tonight. Not tonight. It's just you and me. Going from the second shift to the third shift. Going from the weekend to the weekday. Except probably tomorrow, you and I have off. We have off tomorrow for the Martin Luther King Day. Now, you got kids in school? That means they're going to be home tomorrow. In my case, my kids were home Friday. I have 4 big days of kids at home. Dealing with that has pretty much been my day. But when I came downstairs tonight to do my powerful and important network radio show for you, there was the most dreaded sight possible. That overwhelms anything that could happen in Congress today, anything that could happen in the Senate today, anything that could happen on the Sunday morning talk shows, which nobody watches, who are strong enough to get up and change the dial. No one watches those shows. If you're strong enough to get up and change the dial, you don't watch those shows. Nobody does. I saw water on the floor of the basement. That is the most terrifying sight for somebody who lives in a house with a basement, which means you're not in Florida. Water on the floor of the basement. That's my week. Kids are home. It's too cold outside. Water on the floor of the basement. Welcome to my world. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi. I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari, and on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I dive into what must be done to fix the shoplifting pandemic plaguing New York City. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Stick around, and you are going to hear the absolute lamest message in a bottle story ever. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
When you call my radio show, please, please, please turn your radio down. Don't do with me like you sometimes do with Walter M. Sterling. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned radio host. I'll explain later here on Sterling on Sunday.
Colonoscopies, mammograms, and well visits. A medical update from the Gaffney household coming up.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday. Tonight. And you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Johnny Depp.
If there is a dialogue between two people, both people need to speak, but there was no way to fit a word in.
I find that the things I'm afraid of and worry about and keep me up late are the sort of things I just never hear on the radio. I hear about crap and nonsense going on in Washington, D.C. Okay, that has nothing to do with me. That's all social studies. That's all theory. I don't care about that. It doesn't affect me in any way. What am I worried about? I'm worried that my kid's going to come home with a crappy report card. I worry about water in the basement. I worry about the check engine light never going off. I worry about the funny noise in my new car. My 2017-year-old 2017 used car, but every now and then it makes a funny noise that's hard to determine. Now, they surveyed, you know who they are, thousands of young adults, and they asked them, what are you afraid of? They said lacking the resources to complete college, not being able to have enough money to complete school, arriving at the, not arriving at the necessary conditions of having a family, not being able to have a family, not being able to have the money, the job, to have a family. They're worried about the fact that the economic crisis could get worse, and they're afraid of not achieving success in life. They're afraid of being denied the right of mobility. One out of five Americans will move this year. Have you moved? Do you know how expensive it is to move? Minimum $15,000. Well, it won't cost that much. Oh, it'll cost that much. You will have to borrow money from friends and relatives to move. It costs a fortune to move. It'll be $15,000. Fear of not achieving success, fear of being denied the right of mobility, fear of the danger of online and social media exposure. You're starting to get wacky emails from people, from somebody writing to you saying, well, you know, we know which porn sites you go to, and you have very strange taste. And if you don't give us 18,000 bitcoins by tomorrow morning at 6, we're going to reveal all of this to your friends. Because we have your passwords, and we have your contact list. Well, wait a minute, where would you have gotten that? Oh, I know, TransUnion. The credit bureau that was supposed to keep everything a secret, it was broken into about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, with all of your secret information. And you know, it's the darndest thing. I can't stop that. Don't bother me. It's the darndest thing. The CEO of TransUnion sold a huge amount of his stock 2 days before that news release went out. Isn't that amazing? Is he still in jail? Oh, he didn't go to jail. Oh, my gosh. Fear of losing basic human rights protection, freedom of speech, fear of being in a continuing war with Ukraine. These are some of the fears that young people have, and that makes a lot more sense to me than fear of who's Speaker of the House. When you go to sleep tonight, right before you go to sleep, there's something that's always gnawing at you, something that's always biting you right before you go to sleep. What is that? What is it that you're one thing? I don't need a whole list. One thing that kind of gnaws at you, and I want you to share it with me, because a problem shared is a problem cut in half. Corny as that sound, it's absolutely true. My phone number is 888 688 9258. Yes, we're on WPHT in Philadelphia tonight. Thank you, Jesus. And KMOX in St. Louis. And we're not being preempted by a game that nobody likes unless they have a bet on it. Nobody likes. Nobody. 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. What are you afraid of? Right before you go to bed, there's one little thing that keeps you awake. One little thing. I want to know what that is. Because I know that if your boss looked at you the wrong way right before you left on Friday, that is a bigger deal than anything that can happen in Washington, D.C.
In the official things. All of the official things. Those things that were in Biden's garage. Who cares?
I don't care what he has in his garage. Could care less. And he didn't think it was very important either. That's why he left it in an unlocked garage. Think about the things you leave in the garage. Those are things that you know aren't very important. Sean, on my board, would you write next to that name what that's about? Would you do that for me? Because, you know, there's all sorts of business going on, all sorts of things. So my number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. I have so much to do tonight. We're going to review 90s TV shows. We're going to review the fact that it's Girl Scout cookie time. And the cookies that you favor, the cookies that you want. There's only one cookie I want, and I will share that with you coming up in just seconds. And at 10:45 tonight, our first report from Alaska. And I'll share with you why we're doing a report in Alaska. There's Dan on Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-9258. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Walter. Good evening. You're welcome for my call.
Yes, thank you for your call.
So, you're back. So, you know, a few weeks ago, you were singing the praises of the ex-Southwest CEO and how when he left, things were not as well. And I thought, well, is Walter just this guy's biggest fan? And boy, how much difference could that have made? Well, I was talking to somebody, and he was telling me, oh, yeah, my wife works for Southwest. So I said,
Stop. You have to spell it out. Southwest Airlines. So because when you say Southwest, sir, I'm thinking it's that conference in Texas in Austin. No, you mean the big change that happened after Herb Kelleher retired from Southwest Airlines and how it's been all downhill ever since it's been run by MBAs. So please, Dan, go ahead.
Yes, sir, precisely. Sorry for not being more specific. So I was talking to a guy whose wife is in higher management at Southwest Airlines. I said, okay, what really led to that? Because, you know, the media is going to tell you it was this and that, but I don't believe a word of the media. And he said, well, no, it's because the new management doesn't know how to run things and they don't care. And I instantly thought of Walter Sterling and how he was right.
Dan,
I tip my hat to you. Take a bow.
Dan, I will take a bow, and I thank you very much for calling Sterling on Sunday. There we have two examples of, once again, why I was right. The disaster at Southwest Airlines this week is because they have MBAs running it and not an entrepreneurial spirit like Herb Kelleher, the founding CEO. And one guy lost $1,000,003 on a bet against the Jaguars. And I told you that Trevor Lawrence was the golden quarterback of this century. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Ron Puffio.
And the pocket fisherman's handle is its own mini tackle box.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I dive into what must be done to fix the shoplifting pandemic plaguing New York City. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. World's largest strip club, Vegas, has a great mechanical bouncer. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Colonoscopies, mammograms, and well visits. A medical update from the Gaffney household. Coming up
tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Stick around. and you are going to hear the absolute lamest message in a bottle story ever. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
When you call my radio show, please, please, please turn your radio down. Don't do with me like you sometimes do with Walter M. Sterling. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned radio host. I'll explain later here on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Knife-wielding maniac. Kabong. People of Walmart. Later. Sterling at night.
Tonight. And you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
All right, it's a fun live radio show. We're coast-to-coast from Lobster Radio in Maine to Sacramento. Rush Limbaugh's very first radio station in Sacramento, where it's always raining. Nancy, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Your number is 888-688-WALT. Nancy, what are you afraid of?
I'm afraid of being homeless. I was living in an assisted living home, and they evicted all of us because they changed ownerships. So I spent the night, one night in my car, parked it at the emergency room parking lot because I felt safe. And the second night, I went to a friend's house, and the police came, which he wasn't home. And the police came and thought I was burglarizing. And I told them, no, I'm not. I'm here because I have nowhere to go. Well, they took me to the Days Inn in Augusta, Georgia. And, of course, that took all my money to pay for every night I stayed there until I came to my daughter-in-law's house. She came and got me yesterday. Now, do I go to a nursing home? Do I go to an assistant care home? I don't know what to do.
How's your daughter-in-law treating you?
Excellent. Oh, it's wonderful here. She's getting ready to move to Texas in July, and I keep thinking, what can I do to stop her? But I can't.
Can you go with her?
No, no, I can't.
Why not?
No.
Why not?
Well, I don't know. I never thought about it.
All right. Now, there's your homework for the week, Nancy. And thank you very much for calling. Your homework for the week is this. I want you to say to your daughter-in-law, I want to come with you to Texas. Because the number one cause of homelessness is not drugs. It's not a lack of money. The number one cause of homelessness is a lack of a relationship with any member of the family. Over a period of time, the people who are homeless have lost their relationship with their family. That is why they are homeless, because their family would probably take them in or encourage them in some way, either financially or spiritually or emotionally, if they actually knew the extent of the problem. When you don't talk to somebody for 6 months, a year, 10 years, you imagine all sorts of things about their condition. You imagine that, oh, they really have money. They really could live somewhere if they wanted to. Or they're just moving to another place. They're not really homeless. Most people who are really homeless are homeless because they have no relationship with their family. And I'll bet you that if people put down their pride and said, I'm going to share the truth with my family about our situation, the family would gather and do their best. It might not be a Ritz-Carlton. It might just be a room in the basement, but that is better than a room on the street. That is better than a room in Tent City. But homelessness is something that we're all afraid of, and in more cases than not, it's avoidable. What are you afraid of? What do you think of right before you go to sleep that makes you go, oh, startles you awake? 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Oh, my misfits, I know you have things that keep you awake. Now, when they surveyed young people, not old people, but young people, they found out that being unemployed was their biggest fear. Lacking the resources, the money to complete their studies in college, second biggest fear. Not arriving at the prerequisite conditions to have a family. That is, that they couldn't get married, or that they couldn't have the money to get married, or they couldn't have a family because of money. Fear of not achieving success. Fear among young people. Fear of being denied the right of mobility. the ability to move to wherever they want to move to, which is basic right of an American. And fear of danger of online and social media exposure. The difference between somebody who's 30 today and 30 years ago, you realize that the one thing that a 30-year-old is loath to give up today, it's not the town they live in, it's not where they work, it's not how much money they make, it's none of that. It's giving up their last name. That's how they stay anonymous online. They don't give up their last name until they actually know somebody well. That's the big difference. Used to be, when you met somebody in a bar or social situation, you extend your hand, you'd say your full name. Now, they extend their hand and say, I'm Nancy. I'm Karen. I'm Frank. But they don't say their full name. Full name comes like in the third date, because it's only with the full name that you and I can be tracked down on social media. And managing social media is something that a 30-year-old today is expert at and a 60-year-old is not expert at. What are you afraid of? Here's my phone number, 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Right in that little twilight before you shut your eyes and you go to sleep, what startles you awake? And the minute you share that with me, that fear will be cut in half. Because what does FEAR stand for? Fictional events appearing real. It's fiction. It's nonsense. My biggest fear for a long time was paying the tax bill. I had all sorts of fantasies about taxes, back taxes, future taxes. Huge fear. But it was a lie. I didn't realize that the IRS has programs to make it easy to pay them, that if I go to see the IRS, they're not there with handcuffs. They want to work it out. It never occurred to me that visiting an IRS office would be a vaguely pleasant experience because I had established such a huge fear in my head. I never was afraid of losing a job because also in my fantasy life, I knew I could get another job. You can get another job. It's always possible to get a job. Is it to be the CEO of General Motors? No, but you can get a job and take care of your family if that's what you really want to do. But again, what does it come down to? Just like being homeless, it comes down to putting down pride. If the only purpose of getting a job is to pay the bills, then pay the bills. If it's nothing grandiose, it's not going to cure your ego issues. Sometimes we just have to have jobs to pay bills. And that, my friend, is a noble effort rather than hanging your kids out in fear of what's mommy doing? What's daddy doing? That's why you get a job sometimes. Even if you have it for a month, that's why you get a job. 888-688-WALT. That's my phone number. What are you afraid of right now? What is floating in your head right this second? 888-688-WALT. Coming up in seconds, we're going to have our very first report from Alaska. Because unlike most talk show hosts, I actually read the Alaska newspaper. And I read the Siberia newspaper every night before I go online. And what I discovered at the Siberia newspaper is unbelievable, and I'll share that with you in about 25 minutes. I mean, what they discovered in the permafrost is terrifying, absolutely terrifying. But some of the mythology that lives in the minds of people in Alaska, wait till you hear Ken talk about it. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Are we having fun? Is this an actual radio show? You bet. Live, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I dive into what must be done to fix the shoplifting pandemic plaguing New York City. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. World's largest strip club, Vegas, has a great mechanical bouncer. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Colonoscopies, mammograms, and well visits. A medical update from the Gaffney household coming up.
tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Stick around, and you are going to hear the absolute lamest message in a bottle story ever. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
When you call my radio show, please, please, please turn your radio down. Don't do with me like you sometimes do with Walter M. Sterling. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned radio host. I'll explain later here on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Knife-wielding maniac. Kabong. People of Walmart. Later, Sterling at night.
Tonight. And you on the toll-free. 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Jerry Springer.
Well, Jerry, can you hear me? I can't hear anything.
All right, Walter M. Sterling, Sterling on Sunday, live radio show, coast to coast. Welcome. Keith Fons is a delivery driver in Fairbanks, Alaska, actually in North Pole, Alaska. And Keith Fons has real Alaska stories. You and I have always found Alaska to be fascinating. Amazingly, we're on the air live in Fairbanks, Alaska. Keith, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you on, and I understand you've been publicizing your appearance on Sterling on Sunday. Is that right?
Definitely. We got to promote it. That way we get more people to listen every Sunday night to the show.
You have a story for us about one of the myths in Alaska. Will you share that story with me?
Yes, definitely. So there's an old urban legend here. Your audience can say whether or not it's truth or legend. But it goes back to the 1920s to the 1950s on the seaside of the Kenai Peninsula in a town called Port Luck, Alaska, that is now a ghost town. Now, the reason that it's supposedly a ghost town, according to the legends, is the local native people, which consist of Eskimos and Russian descendants at that time. Back in 1920, they ended up starting a town that was known for its cannery. It became big enough in 1921 that they actually got their first post office there. And then the locals started noticing people disappearing, people coming up mangled. And so the name that they had for this hairy creature was the Nautinuk, and it was, according to legend, bigger than your average, what you would consider Bigfoot. And it had like 18-inch feet marks in the ground and stood as tall as 12 feet, according to the legends. And so then about 1949, they noticed more and more people, dozens of people were coming up missing. Body parts were about the only thing they would find. And so in 1950, the whole town up packed their stuff and left overnight. They literally abandoned the town, over 200 local natives, and they left the town because of this hairy creature that was terrorizing them. But one person got left behind. They had a post office there that was established back in 1921. And because of the laws back then, they couldn't abandon the post office, so the postmaster had to stay in town from 1950 to 1951 by himself until they finally closed the post office. So since 1951, nobody has occupied the town. It's been a ghost town. You can't just drive. Like, there's a lot of places in Alaska that the only way you can get there is either by boat or plane, and that was one of those towns, and still to this day, nobody will go and occupy that, the ghost town.
Keith Fons, how far is the ghost town from where you live outside of Fairbanks?
From here, roughly about 400 miles.
So that's
it's
a big trip.
It's on the seaside, yeah. Yeah, it's on the seaside, down on the coast, on the southern tip.
Have you ever seen it?
I've been close to there. We took a family trip to Homer, which is about as close as you can get unless you took a plane or something else to get there. One day we do want to go and travel there and walk in and see what the big deal is with this ghost town.
Well, Keith Fonz, you're going to go there one day, walk in, and run out. That's what you're going to do. I believe this story, and thank you very much, Keith. We look forward to your Alaska report again next week. I believe this story because I believe all conspiracy theories. I believe all Bigfoot stories. Who's going to make up a thing about here was a real town, and now it's abandoned? It doesn't just happen. It would require an 8-foot-tall creature to show up. And it's not a bunch of raccoons at the trash cans. They would know the difference. I believe Keith Fonz. Keith Fonz is our Alaska correspondent. And what I don't understand about these so-called patriotic talk show hosts, they never seem to remember that Alaska is part of the United States of America. But I do. And that's why Keith Fonz has been gracious enough to say, yeah, I'm going to talk to you each week, Walter Sterling, with a Alaska story. Now, coming up, I have a Siberia story, the likes of which is terrifying and reminds me a lot of the X-Files. Every week, I look online at the Alaska newspaper, the Alaska online newspaper, and the Siberia newspaper. And if you have a minute, search Siberia newspaper. You figure it's snow. I swear, it's like Florida. The people who live there think of so many things to do and so many activities and so much recreation. Might as well be looking up Miami. They even have bikini contests in Siberia. That's right. But what they found in the permafrost will terrify you. That's in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. World's largest strip club, Vegas, has a great mechanical bouncer. Details later. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Colonoscopies, mammograms, and well visits. A medical update from the Gaffney household coming up.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Stick around, and you are going to hear the absolute lamest message in a bottle story ever. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
When you call my radio show, please, please, please turn your radio down. Don't do with me like you sometimes do with Walter M. Sterling. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned radio host. I'll explain later here on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool, knife-wielding maniac, Kabong, people of Walmart, later, Sterling at night.
Tonight. And you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat. How you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to address the retail theft pandemic that's plaguing New York City. Shoplifters are termites, the lowest form of vermin on the criminal food chain. They erode the foundation of society every time they walk out of a store with an item they didn't pay for. When I was a young patrolman in the mid-80s, New York City was awash in crime. It was like the Wild West. NYPD cops were often discouraged from enforcing quality of life crimes, such as shoplifting, so as not to clog up the system with petty arrests. Now, this all changed when Rudy Giuliani came around. Rudy understood that you had to take crime, including retail theft, seriously to have a safe city. Rudy took the handcuffs off the police and demanded the borough's district attorney's offices enforce the law. Under Mayor Giuliani's leadership, crime was at an all-time low and New York City flourished. Make no mistake about it, there was a new sheriff in town and he wasn't screwing around. Unfortunately, today's lawmakers are under the impression that shoplifting is a victimless crime that gives equity to those who refuse to work for a living. When Albany, Gracie Mansion, and the local district attorney's offices turn a blind eye to shoplifting, They've declared open season on New York City merchants' safety and livelihood. Bail reform, light sentences have given criminals the green light to steal at will, with little or no consequences. What these ideologues fail to realize is that shoplifting will eventually put local stores out of business, not to mention raising the cost in goods and services. Shoplifting is a cyclical crime, fueled by our lawmakers' inability to take the problem seriously. The New York City Police Department can only do so much after they put the handcuffs on a shoplifter. Often cops are encouraged to give the thief a desk appearance, or in my day, a disappearance ticket, where they are let go to reoffend. As New York City descends into chaos, all lawmakers want a pat on the back for the attempted closure of Rikers Island and an emasculated police department that acts as a hall monitor of an out-of-control city. The good news, however, is shoplifting is a quick fix that a couple of strokes of the pen can remedy. If the powers that be took the handcuffs off the New York City Police Department and the District Attorney's Office set higher bail and prosecuted shoplifting cases to the fullest extent of the law, you'd see the problem evaporate after a couple of months. Lawmakers must address the shoplifting pandemic soon, or it's going to be the final nail in the coffin of a once great New York City. That's my two cents anyway. So now that I'm off my soapbox, I encourage you to check out my new book, The NYPD's Flying Circus, Cops, Crime, and Chaos.
Oh, you've got to get Vic Ferrari's books. And they're on Amazon, in his very own Amazon store, Vic Ferrari. Hi, I'm Walter Sterling. It's 11 past the hour. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. We are live. We're live all across Route 80 from coast to coast, up and down the 5 in California, and the most mysterious and bizarre road in America in Florida, I-4. And why is that mysterious? Because you see, it runs north and south, but the directional signs say I-4 west, I-4 east. And Florida is the only state in America where rivers run into the state, not out to the ocean. All very bizarro. Very bizarro. But Walmart, Target, have come up with the strangest shoplifting solution possible, which is they are putting governors on their shopping carts. They're putting governors that stop the shopping cart from going more than 10 feet out the front door. Well, guess what? If I have more than a gallon of milk, I don't really feel like carrying it from my cart to my car. Do you? I believe that we're going to save a lot on goods and services disappearing from our stores by putting limits on how far the carts can go. Baloney. What it's going to do is dramatically cut down on how much that you and I buy. The other stupid thing that Walmart did, really stupid. Every hour, they're converting more and more manned cash registers to self-checkout. Especially at a Walmart, where on a good day you might have 40 or 50 items, to stand there and do self-checkout is a job. Now, I already have a job. I have to labor in front of this microphone and talk to you. And the last thing I want to do is go to Walmart and be a cashier. And then at some Walmarts, I can look and down the aisles where their cash registers. Look up and down the cash registers and not one light is on. Not one cash register is open. Not one. And in some Walmarts, the self-checkouts are shut down in half the store. Only one center of self-checkouts is available by one door. The other door is locked after like 10 p.m. I mean, what the heck? And then they're going to go, well, sales are down because of shoplifting. No, sales are down because of your stupidity, your incredible stupidity of thinking you're going to solve the shoplifting problem, because the number one place where shoplifting takes place is at the self-checkout lines. That's where goods can disappear mysteriously. Now, listen to me. A 48,000-year-old virus has been discovered in the Siberian permafrost. This was predicted on the X-Files. And I'll share this information with just you, my Midnight Misfits, just you, in seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. World's largest strip club, Vegas, has a great mechanical bouncer. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Colonoscopies, mammograms, and well visits. A medical update from the Gaffney household coming up.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Stick around, and you are going to hear the absolute lamest message in a bottle story ever. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
When you call my radio show, please, please, please turn your radio down. Don't do with me like you sometimes do with Walter M. Sterling. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned radio host. I'll explain later here on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Knife-wielding maniac. Kabong. People of Walmart. Later. Sterling at night.
Tonight. And you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of Al Bundy.
I don't want to have sex. You're my wife, for God's sake.
Very rarely do you hear about a customer being a hero at Walmart, but it happened this last week. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about DeMario Davis, a veteran, a leader. But first, let's talk about the situation. Man pulls out his pocket knife, holds everybody hostage. A knife-wielding maniac. DeMario Davis, who has seen the worst of humanity, wasn't going to take this lying down. So he found himself the base of a lake. And as the knife-wielding maniac was cussing and pacing back and forth, turned his back. Running in, it was the hero of heroes, DeMario Davis, swings the base of the lamp into the coconut of the knife-wielding maniac. Hero. Crazy things happen at Walmart, but then there's a guy like DeMario Davis. A reason to believe in humanity again. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool for Sterling at Night.
Velo Hool, we are so proud to have you part of Sterling on Sunday. Jack Swanson. Jack Swanson, for many, many years, was the program director of the number one radio station doing spoken word programming in San Francisco's KGO. And Jack was a program director there for many, many years. And Jack is a smart guy, which has nothing to do with what he sent me. He happens to be a lawyer. He's a great public speaker. He's a bon vivant. He's quite the guy. He sends me a text. Jack Swanson, you know, in your business, there are people who are idolized and worshipped. And, gee, if they know about you, you're doing well. This is what Jack Swanson texted to me about my show. It's developed nice flavors of Boston's Dick Summers and New York City's Gene Shepherd and you. I like it. But what do I know? It's 2023. I live in a big radio market and it has no local talk radio, none. I don't even know where the computers are hidden. I don't have a radio in my home, he says. I have three Alexises. So I listen on occasion and enjoy Mr. Sterling. But you and the others are now lost in the huge matrix of streams, national shows, national stations, podcasts, satellites, blah, blah, blah. You know all that. But sometimes in that infinite universe of sound and sights, I stumble on the planet Sterling. And I smile. Keep it up. Hope you're well, my friend, Jack Swanson. Jack, that is like the best thing that happened to me since I got arch supports. The best thing to happen to me since I got custom arch supports. Orthotics. Orthotics changed my life. But now I'm at a point in my life where you know what my victory is at any given time? A victory for me now is when I find that extra spot in the dishwasher to fit the one last cup. When I'm actually able to get everything from the sink into the dishwasher. That is a victory for me. Do you have days like that? Because that's the real deal. The dishwasher gets loaded perfectly Now, before I got married, I thought I knew how to load a dishwasher. I was sure of it. I was single for many, 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 many years. And I loaded the dishwasher just fine, and the dishes got clean. But since I've been married, it has been explained to me many times that there is another way to load that dishwasher, Walter. And I thought I had it nailed. But I'm wrong. I had to be taught how to do the dishwasher. I also had to be taught... There was a buzz. I killed the buzz. I also had to be taught that unless the clothes are folded, the clothes aren't done. Because before I was married, the way I did the clothes is I took them to a washer, washed them, threw them in the dryer, and then threw them in a laundry bag and brought them back to my bedroom and put them next to the dresser. The clothes were done. Or when there was extra cash, what did I do? I took them to a laundromat. The laundromats I had near my home in Manhattan were great. I would take in the clothes, big bag of clothes, leave them there. They would weigh the bag, and I'd pick it up at the end of the day, or when I had a doorman, they would deliver it to the doorman, and there were my clothes perfectly folded in a big plastic bag, and then I'd leave that bag next to the dresser. I don't think any of my clothes ever actually got into the dresser. I think that was mostly used to house change on the top. That was the primary purpose of the dresser. But since I've been married, I've learned that the way you do clothes is you have to fold them at the end. And for the life of me, I do not know why I have to fold my underwear. I don't know why I have to put the socks together. Why do I have to do that? Just throw them in a drawer and it's done. So many things are learned only upon the advent of marriage. And money. Finally, after 1,000 years of marriage, she has wrestled the bills and the money away from me. That took a long time. She was never satisfied with the way the money was being handled. And you know what? I wasn't either, but at least it was being done by me, and I had this illusion of control. She fixed that. The illusion of control. Now listen to this. A 48,500-year-old virus has been revived from the Siberian permafrost. Seven viruses from the Siberian permafrost have been revived and replicated themselves in the lab, including the oldest revived so far. Seven types of viruses have been in the frozen permafrost for thousands and thousands of years. They've been revived. The youngest were frozen 27,000 years ago, while the oldest was on ice for 48,500 years, making it the most ancient virus resuscitated so far. 48,000 years is a world record, says a member of the Alex Marseille University in France. They did the work with his colleagues and his team. They previously had revived two 30,000-year viruses. In a laboratory study, the H1N1 seasonal flu virus didn't take hold in bronchial cells containing the Omicron virus variant, but the flu virus did replicate in cells containing the Delta variant. That's about our pandemic now. But what scientists are afraid of now is that as these viruses come to life out of the permafrost in Siberia, they could start a pandemic over which we have no control. We have no knowledge of how to deal with the 27,000-year-old virus. No idea. But all I kept thinking about, was the X-Files. And the X-Files dealt with all of this in many of their episodes. Cancer Man used to say, "It's not aliens, it started with a virus." That's what he used to say. And that's pretty terrifying. No, remember that? Remember in the X-Files, that's what he said.
The researchers who have revived a number of these zombie viruses, as they're now being called, have found the potential revival of viruses could infect animals or humans. Now, this is quite problematic. Moreover, in a report published in Science Alert, the same was reiterated by the lead researcher. Jean-Marie Olympic, from the French National Center for Scientific Research said that these reanimating viruses are potentially a significant threat to public health, although further study needs to be done to assess the danger that these infectious agents could pose as they are eventually released into the atmosphere.
Zombie viruses. That's what they have found in the permafrost in Siberia. Zombie viruses. That they don't know what's going to happen when these are released into the atmosphere. That have been dormant for 28,000 years in the permafrost in Siberia. But all of this, the pandemic, the vaccine issues, all of this was predicted on Fox Television's The X-Files. I will share some of those scenes with you coming up in just seconds. The name of this show is Sterling on Sunday. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. Welcome to our giant network show.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Mr. Wizard.
And because a lot of ammonia will dissolve in just a little bit of water, we can make a famous ammonia fountain.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. World's largest strip club, Vegas, has a great mechanical bouncer. Details later. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Colonoscopies, mammograms, and well visits. A medical update from the Gaffney household coming up.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Stick around, and you are going to hear the absolute lamest message in a bottle story ever. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
When you call my radio show, please, please, please turn your radio down. Don't do with me like you sometimes do with Walter M. Sterling. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned radio host. I'll explain later here on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
As the frost melts in Siberia, the permafrost melts, a 28,000-year-old virus has appeared. We don't know how to fight a 28-year-old thousand virus. It could lead to a worldwide pandemic, the likes of which we cannot imagine.
The researchers who have revived a number of these zombie viruses, as they're now being called, have found the potential revival of viruses could infect animals or humans. Now, this is quite problematic. Moreover, in a report published in Science Alert, the same was reiterated by the lead researcher. Jean-Marie Olympic from the French National Center for Scientific Research said that these reanimating viruses are potentially a significant threat to public health, although further study needs to be done to assess the danger that these infectious agents could pose as they are eventually released into the atmosphere.
But the pandemic and issues with the vaccines were predicted well over 10 years ago on the Fox television drama, The X-Files.
It makes no sense.
But then she gets a call from Agent Monica Reyes, who was one of the characters who became a regular after David Duchovny left the show back in season 8. Reyes tells Scully that there is a virus. It's known to the evil conspirators who cooked it up as the Spartan virus, and it will wipe out most of the population. The only survivors will be those who've been given alien DNA to make them immune. Reyes confirms that Scully does have the alien DNA and will be immune.
It has said on The X-Files that the original virus, the original alien virus, was a HEPA virus that had to be done away with, the HEPA virus, that when it attacks a human being, they're instantly dead. But that was found thousands of feet under the ground. FEMA found it thousands of feet under the ground. It was the main theme of The X-Files, that it was these viruses, these germs. They are the original occupants of this planet. They originally controlled the planet, and they could control it again at any time. There's been a lot of talk about how the vaccine for the COVID virus has caused people to have heart attacks. Don't know, but I do know that when I confronted my neurologist about the possible effects of the vaccine, finally, he finally broke down and admitted that we are dealing with human beings on a cellular level to a degree to which we have never done before. and the side effects are unknown and may roll out over years, decades. I love The X-Files. I miss The X-Files. To me, the greatest scene in The X-Files ever was when one of the aliens living among us witnessed a mass murder at a fast food joint. And he looked around and he said, no one's going to die here today. And he went to each person who had been shot and put his hands over them. And he, when he put his hands over him, the bullet wounds healed instantly. Instantly. And then he left. All of the people who had been murdered were revived just by him touching them because he had alien power. Well, the problem is that the aliens in the X-Files who lived among us were not supposed to reveal themselves through miracles. They were not supposed to do that. And Cancer Man, William B. Davis, who was responsible for our relationship with the aliens, was none too pleased. And therefore, he visited this alien who had been imprisoned, tied to one of those chairs, one of those face masks put over him, and silenced. But he went, William B. Davis went to visit this alien in jail and created, in my opinion, the best episode, the best scene in the history of The X-Files.
This becomes a responsibility.
The thing I'm now called upon to put right and put down.
Certainly you expected nothing less.
I'm ashamed of my actions.
Ashamed? You're not allowed the luxury of human weakness and penitence. You're not allowed to put your indulgences ahead of the greater purpose.
I no longer believe in the greater purpose.
Then your fate is just.
My justice is not for you to mete out. You may have reason. You have no right. You have no means.
You presume to dictate duty to me? Have you any idea what the cost of your actions is? What their effect might be? Or you to give them hope?
What do you give them?
We give them happiness. And they give us authority.
We give them happiness. They give us authority. It could be the slogan for PepsiCo. It could be the slogan for Tide. We give them happiness. They give us authority. This was the best scene in the history of The X-Files.
This becomes a responsibility.
The thing I'm now called upon to put right and put down.
Certainly you expected nothing less.
I'm not ashamed of my actions.
Ashamed? You're not allowed the luxury of human weakness and penitence. You're not allowed to put your indulgences ahead of the greater purpose.
I no longer believe in the greater purpose.
Then your fate is just.
My justice is not for you to mete out. You may have reason. You have no right. You have no means.
You presume to dictate duty to me? Have you any idea what the cost of your actions is? What their effect might be? Or you to give them hope?
What do you give them?
We give them happiness. And they give us authority.
That's just the beginning of the story of that scene between Roy Thinnes and William B. Davis, the two finest actors working in television, incredible actors. And that scene, which came out of Kafka, scene from Kafka, we give them happiness. They give us authority. And then the alien says, by what means are you going to kill me? Because the only thing that would kill him was a certain type of ice pick in the back of his neck, but it made up of special metal. And William B. Davis said, the people who give me the authority gave me the means to kill you. Whoa. There's more to this amazing story coming up in just seconds. I'm Walter M. Sterling. I am live. You and I get to talk to each other whenever we want. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. World's largest strip club, Vegas, has a great mechanical bouncer. Details, later. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Colonoscopies, mammograms, and well visits. A medical update from the Gaffney household, coming up.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
stick around, and you are going to hear the absolute lamest message in a bottle story ever. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
When you call my radio show, please, please, please turn your radio down. Don't do with me like you sometimes do with Walter M. Sterling. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned radio host. I'll explain later here on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of Long John Neville.
And they fired Gene Shepherd at 2 o'clock in the morning. And Gene, who was a very close friend of mine, he had done something that they were not happy about. And in turn, they asked me to come in.
Oh, my gosh. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday, live across Route 80, up I-90, otherwise known as the Luge. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. This is live. There's nothing else live at this time. You think the Bitcoin show is live? It's not. It's not. The Investments in You show, not live at this time. It's just us. Emails. Here's my email address. Every email I get gets answered. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. And we have a spectacular Lee Harris-driven website, Walter Sterling Show. That's S-T-E-R, WalterSterlingShow.com, where you will find out everything you wondered about the show, about me, about our special features, how we put the show together. It's like the most useful website in all of radio because it's made just for this show. It doesn't appear for 50 other shows. How lame is that? Oh, come on, guys. Make individual websites for each show. I mean, please. And that's what we do. Now, the best scene ever in The X-Files was between William B. Davis and Roy Thinnes, between William B. Davis, the head of the secret government, and Roy Thinnes, an alien who did something wrong.
This becomes a responsibility. The thing I'm now called upon to put right and put down. Certainly you expected nothing less.
I'm ashamed of my actions.
Ashamed? You're not allowed the luxury of human weakness and penitence. You're not allowed to put your indulgences ahead of the greater purpose.
I no longer believe in the greater purpose.
Then your fate is just.
My justice is not for you to mete out. You may have reason. You have no right. You have no means.
You presume to dictate duty to me? Have you any idea what the cost of your actions is? What their effect might be. Who are you to give them hope?
What do you give them?
We give them happiness. And they give us authority.
I'm on like my third date with my current wife. And we hit upon the fact that we both saw this scene separately and thought it was the best scene we ever saw on television. We were dazzled by this X-Files episode that used to run on Friday nights, which we always saw because neither of us had dates. No one else would go out with us except each other. We saw this scene, and we both agreed this was spectacular. Part of the reason we fell in love was because of this Kafkaesque scene between William B. Davis and an alien. On one of our anniversaries, I thought, well, what if I could get those two actors to actually recreate that scene at our anniversary party. Now, not because I'm in show business. I had no relationships at Fox. I didn't know these two actors. I thought, I'm just going to try to see if they would come to New York and reenact this scene. That's what I was going to do. I sent a letter to William B. Davis. The only way I knew how to reach him was that he participated in a theater. He lent his name to a theater in Portland or Seattle or some scary place. And I wrote him a letter. And I said, would you consider coming to New York and recreating this scene? Because it's an incredible scene. Send him the letter. I said, I'll fly you to New York. I'll put you up. Out of nowhere, like 3 weeks later, I get an email saying, I will come. Would you bring my fiance, my girlfriend, Barbara? Would you bring her with me? I'm like, William B. Davis is going to come and be at my anniversary party? Yes, of course I would do that. And then I had the challenge of trying to find Roy Thinnes. Well, it turns out Roy Thinnes used to be on General Hospital. And I knew Jackie Zeman, who played Bobby Spencer on General Hospital, because I had made a deal with her when I was head of the ABC radio networks. We made a deal for a soap opera feature. I knew Jackie pretty well. And I send her a note saying, do you know Roy Thinnes? Can you get in touch with her? Oh, she wrote, oh, he's a lovely man. I'll be happy to get in touch with him for you. Well, it turns out he lives in a suburb of New York City. I sent him a note. No, I take it back. I got his phone number because it was only a week away now. I got his phone number. I finally tracked him down, got his phone number, and I called him. And Roy Thinnes, as you heard, has a very deep voice. And I called him up with great trepidation. I said, Mr. Thinnes, would you do this with William B. Davis? Would you do this, reenact this scene from your show? It would be fun to see Bill again. He didn't hang up on me. He said, it would be fun to see Bill again. Well, then the day came, the day before the anniversary party. And there I am sitting with the two of them at lunch. Two of the greatest character actors of our time, with these insane voices, these incredible voices that these two men have. And we had lunch, and I'm just shutting my eyes and listening to these crazy voices. Now, key to this was that nobody could know they were there. I wanted them to appear at the lunch, and this is how we did it. I got a DVD of that episode of The X-Files. Played it on a big screen in front of everybody who had come to our wedding. I invited everybody who had come to our wedding to this anniversary party. And then we staged it so the DVD would skip and skip and skip. And finally I stood there and I looked at my wife and I said, Katie, we're just going to have to reenact it live. And she thought I wanted her to come on stage and reenact it with her. No. The minute I said live, curtain was pulled back, and there is William B. Davis and Roy Thinnes to graciously reenact that scene. I was amazed they did it. There were big shots at our wedding, big show business shot, big shots who said, you know, I could have never made that happen. How did you make that happen? I said, I asked nicely. And they were hams. So they loved doing it. Thank you, William B. Davis, who has an autobiography out. And thank you, Roy Thinnes. Gracious, wonderful actors, great actors. And happy anniversary to my current and only wife. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about how anybody could cheat on Anna Kendrick. How is that possible that somebody would cheat on Anna Kendrick? And how people would body shame Selena Gomez. Who would body shame Selena Gomez? Selena Gomez is cute as heck. Midnight Misfit Hour, coming up in just seconds. I'm Walter M. Sterling, live with you, Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. World's largest strip club, Vegas, has a great mechanical bouncer. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Colonoscopies, mammograms, and well visits. A medical update from the Gaffney household coming up
tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
When you call my radio show, please, please, please turn your radio down. Don't do with me like you sometimes do with Walter M. Sterling. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned radio host. I'll explain later here on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight. And you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story.
Thank you.
All right, for our next Florida story, we're going down to the Jacksonville area. And you can take the beautiful template for the story of A Message in a Bottle.
a message that is tucked away from one stranger to another, spanning time, spanning distance. And Florida can just ruin anything. So what we have here is, well, you know what? I'll let the Channel 12 down in the Jacksonville area share the story here. This is the NBC affiliate in Jacksonville.
Hey, Louie. Yes, Sheila and Teban Piles were doing their yearly neighborhood cleanup in South Jacksonville, Florida last February when they came across this old bottle that said, "Look inside." On the inside, they found a note from a Ron Clark from Texas. So they set out to find him.
We were all hooting and hollering. So check this out, Jim. I got an actual message in a bottle, man. And it was like, holy cow.
And it included a Texas address.
Based on the handwriting, we thought it was a child. And the bottle was aged, we thought, around the 80s. And so when I went on Facebook, because I was like, if it was a child, they probably don't live at that address anymore.
So Sheila put a post in Mevin's community Facebook group with the letter and bottle, hoping the Ron Clark who wrote the letter or someone who knew him would see it.
Looked at the letter and everything else, and I'm like, wow, okay, this is my handwriting. And unfortunately, my handwriting hasn't gotten any better since I was 10 or 11. But it was no doubt it was me.
Ron Clark, now 39, said he was at his grandparents' home in Florida when he threw the note in a bottle in the St. Johns River, right where the Piles live now.
Did you catch the details there? This is the lamest message in a bottle story possible. So some kid is visiting his grandparents in Florida in the 80s, and he puts a message in a bottle, and he throws it from his grandparents' little spot. 39 years later, another couple finds it literally a few feet down. It didn't go anywhere. It just stayed. Like, the dude threw it, the kid threw it. It probably got stuck within a matter of minutes, and it's been there for 39 years. This is the absolute lamest message in a bottle story possible. And I know, the urge to make a police reference or maybe a sting punchline is almost irresistible.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
You know, even though I'm on 50,000-watt clear channel stations like KMOX and giant FM stations like KMBZ in Kansas City, home of the Plaza at Christmas, they still require us to have social media. You know who they are. They are the people who own these radio companies that have found it very difficult to get funding from Wall Street as long as they were owning giant 50,000-watt stations and Class C FM stations, Class C being the best class of FM radio station. Therefore, they have insisted that we start podcasts and have social media presence, even though people on the radio only have one skill, and sure as hell it isn't having sex. It is the ability to just talk to you without actually seeing you. But I know you're there, 14 inches from the speaker in your 18-wheeler. Therefore, I will tell you my social media addresses. On Instagram, it's Walter M. Sterling. On Facebook, it's Walter M. Sterling. I have a spectacular webpage, waltersterlingshow.com, and an amazing podcast called Midnight Misfits. Midnight being misspelled because we don't fit in. MIDNITE, Midnight Misfits, that's the podcast. Midnight Misfits is the podcast. On the website, Walter Sterling Show, you can click the tab that says Midnight Misfits and instantly see your membership card to be a misfit, what it requires you to do as a misfit. What are your qualifications for being a misfit? And you can download that card, print it out, and there you've got it. Well, what else is on that card? The other thing on that card is a decoder. And I give out secret messages during this hour, and you can decode them and find out what he said. Now, does any other radio show do this? No. Do any other radio show do anything? Not as best I can tell. Like, if I could get away with screaming at the Democrats for 4 hours a day and think that that was a job well done, I would do it, but it's not. It's lazy. It's as lazy as can be. It's too easy. Therefore, I've decided to make this as hard as possible as I possibly can and talk about how Anna Kendrick. Oh, did I give my email address? It's waltermsterling@gmail.com. waltermsterling@gmail.com. Karen with the cats, thank you for your email. Rosemary Furlong and her mom, thank you for being part of my family. And Rebecca Canner and Neil Paul, thank you so much for being a midnight misfit. Anna Kendrick is the coolest actress ever. She was the lead actress in Pitch Perfect. She's been in many things that you love, but mostly whenever she appears on a talk show, she is funny as hell. She also recorded the song Cups. That one. She recorded that. She's cute, a Broadway star, a movie star, great on TV talk shows. I mean, what more would you want? For years, she had a boyfriend who was a normal guy, kind of a little guy. A normal guy. And what does this idiot do? Like every guy who somehow or another attracts a very beautiful woman, a very appealing woman, he suddenly thinks he can have it all. He suddenly thinks he could date anybody. And that's what this idiot did to freaking Anna Kendrick. You don't cheat on Anna Kendrick.
I ended up finding out some capital T truth and was exposed to year-long text exchange. And went, oh, I was right about everything.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was actually way worse than I even thought.
Anna Kendrick opens up about the moment she learned her ex was cheating on her.
You know, maybe just don't seek that validation exclusively from people who don't want to give it to you.
And without naming names, she reveals that while she was in a serious relationship, she found a year-long text exchange between her now ex and another woman, a woman he denied having interest in.
And he is screaming at me. It was a passing crush. You're so insecure. I never saw a relationship with this girl to actually see in writing. After a week of f***ing you, I want to blow up my life for you. Mm-hmm. And like, just say the word and we'll ride off into the sunset together.
Anna says that when she confronted him, he denied the whole thing.
He said, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oof.
Which again, was kind of a relief.
That's
because
way
you
out.
Go, oh, you're pathological.
The actress not only confronted her ex, but she says she also sent an email to the woman, inviting her to have a conversation about the infidelity.
To her eternal credit, she was like, yes, can I call you?
Wow.
And we talked on the phone for about an hour, and she was just like, I'm so embarrassed, and I'm so sorry. It was her saying it and having compassion.
Yeah.
That was like, oh, this was real.
Anna says she took some time off of work to focus on her mental health and started seeing two therapists a week. But now Anna is back to work and thriving.
Anna Kendrick took off work as a movie star and a Broadway star because some creepo cheated on her. Why would she let some creepo drag her down to the point where she stopped working? Her work is a gift to America. She's the funniest, bestest actress ever. Anna Kendrick, some little nerdy guy. And he was a normal, I've seen pictures of him. He was a normal little guy. He just had like a normal job. He was so blessed to be even in her presence, much less dating her. What a creep. Anna Kendrick, which brings up this question. Have you found your significant other cheating? Have you? How did you find that out? In a text like Anna Kendrick? Has this brought you closer to a movie star being like Anna Kendrick, finding that your significant other cheated on you with texts? That's how you found it out? 888-688-WALT. I know that's what you're worried about before you go to bed. I know that's the resentment you hold. 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. When you call, you're anonymous. Don't want your name. You can reveal that you've been reading their texts. share how you discovered somebody was cheating on you. I will share how I discovered somebody was cheating on me in just seconds. 888-688-9258. 888-688-WALT. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. World's largest strip club, Vegas, has a great mechanical bouncer. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Colonoscopies, mammograms, and well visits. A medical update from the Gaffney household coming up.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
When you call my radio show, please, please, please turn your radio down. Don't do with me like you sometimes do with Walter M. Sterling. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned radio host. I'll explain later here on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight. And you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Mr. Beast.
I just bought this house and I'm going to give it to Chandler.
Really?
No.
Sin City. 4.4-ton robot dubbed Mech the Bot Johnson. It's a robot in which a security personnel is inside running the controls to keep the crowd at bay at the world's largest strip club, Sapphires, in Las Vegas. Sapphires Gentlemen's Club offers a wide variety of amazing services and perhaps the best-looking babes in Las Vegas. The 15-foot-tall robot suit looks straight out of a sci-fi blockbuster. And let me tell you, you will be behaving. A lot of times at strip clubs, especially in Las Vegas, gentlemen show up perhaps already a little bit soft and maybe have smoked a little bit of weed because weed is legal in Nevada. They've lost a lot of money gambling. Their remaining dollars they take to a gentleman's club for a little bit of joy and perhaps time in the champagne room with a lovely lady named Bubbles. You don't want to mess around with this bouncer, and they keep control at the world's largest gentleman's club. Proudly stated, this bot will be protecting the club, the dancers, and the patrons from all those AI bots that were happening at the CES convention. Don't mess around when you go to Sapphire Gentleman's Club. From the Champagne Room, this is Vila Hule for Sterling at Night.
Oh, Vila Hule, thank God. John at 888-688-WALT. John, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hello?
Hello, John. Hello. Are you in Russia?
No, I'm not in Russia. That's a funny question, though.
I said, are you in Russia? Because you sound like you're, like, under waterfalls or something. Where are you?
Well, I'm in Root. I was actually, I just got back from work overseas, and I'm driving back to Kansas City. I've been away for a while. It's great to actually listen to KMBZ once again. Like, KMBZ, your show is being broadcast through KMBZ, and the lineup there is, like, always entertaining, especially like this hour, some of the stuff at night, and some of the syndicated shows are really good stuff. So
I love KMBZ, and I love Mr. First, the program director at KMBZ. He's brilliant. John, tell me about relationships where you have been cheated on.
Well, so I'll level with you. I wasn't cheated on, but you posed a question about, like, how could somebody like Anna Kendrick, you know, have some, for lack of a better term, like, scumbag to do that to her, where she had to quit work, you know, a joy to this country, and she had to quit work to regroup. And I'll level with you on that. You know, how can anybody let that happen? But, you know, I was a pretty mentally strong person, whatever. I was with the girl for quite some time, like, going pretty steady. And, you know, when the proverbial poo hit the fan, being more PC with the language, but I was devastated. And, you know, when you I think we all know, but, like, when you love somebody that hard and it's just not reciprocated like that, it doesn't matter who it is or who you are. I mean, you're broken. And I was broken for quite a while. Actually, there could be an argument made that I'm still not completely whole. But, you know, it took a lot of hard times and, you know, numerous therapists or whatever I had to talk to just to break through that to where I'm more or less back to normal. But it really does suck, you know, because she's a very, very nice lady. She's an incredibly talented actress. I don't remember the name of the movie, but I remember that movie she was in with George Clooney. Oh, Up in the Air.
Up in the Air. That was her first one. Yeah, that was her first one. That was a great movie.
Yeah, it was a fantastic movie, and she killed it. You know, she's a phenomenal actress, and, you know, I hope things get better for her. I mean, I don't know much about her life or whatever, or who she's like, you know, off screen, off camera, or off the stage, but, you know, I venture to guess she's a pretty decent, you know, grounded person, and, you know, I hope things get better for her, so...
John, I appreciate it. I really appreciate you sharing your story. And that in fact, it does devastate us. Thank you very much for calling, John. Anna Kendrick was cheated on by some little weasel guy, like a normal guy, not like from a movie star. And you know what? He's in Kansas City there. John's in Kansas City, KMBZ. The fact is that for years, I dated a woman in Kansas City. It was crazy about her. Until one day, I'm on the her father calls me out of nowhere and says, she's moving to another city tomorrow. I said, what? She never mentioned that. And then he said, you didn't know there was another guy, did you? Like, what? You didn't know there was another guy, did you? Oh, gee, no, it never came up. That was never mentioned. Your experiences with cheaters, 888-688-WALT, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Alana Haim.
Alan, I've talked to God, I know he'd understand. He said, sit by me and I'll be your guiding hand. Don't ask me what I think of you. I'm not the answer that you want me to.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Colonoscopies, mammograms, and well visits. A medical update from the Gaffney household coming up
tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
When you call my radio show, please, please, please turn your radio down. Don't do with me like you sometimes do with Walter M. Sterling. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned radio host. I'll explain later here on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688. W-A-L-T.
88688-W-A-L-T. I guess that's 10 seconds. Keith, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Hi, I'm Keith from New Jersey.
Yes, where in New Jersey, Keith, exactly?
It's South Jersey. It's like a different state down here. We have
I'm aware. Yeah, I'm aware of that. I grew up in North Jersey. We thought of you as a different state, pretty much a deliverance part of the state. Welcome, Keith. How you doing?
So, I got a good one for you.
Shoot.
So, I was in my home, which I bought, raising my ex-wife's two kids. And I caught her on top of a guy who lived in a shed that the next-door neighbor put up.
Well, clearly she was attracted by his housing.
Apparently.
And so what did you do? Did you divorce immediately, I hope?
Oh, yeah. But listen to this, Walt.
Yes, sir.
I went to counseling, and the counselor says to me, do you think she cheated on you because of you? And I had the line of my life. I said, what are you effing her now?
Keith, thank you very much for calling Sterling on Sunday. Thanks for your call. 888-688-WALT. Anna Kendrick, a treasure of the American theater and film industry, a great actress, a great comedic actress, had a normal boyfriend. He was a skinny, normal guy. I saw a picture of him once in some magazine. I'm like, that's who's dating Anna Kendrick. How the heck did he get so lucky? Well, he got so lucky that he started to believe his own press. Well, I got Anna Kendrick. I could get anyone. He started to cheat on Anna Kendrick. And she caught him in the texts. She caught him by looking at his texts. Now, I'll tell you the best cheating story ever. You ready? There was a disc jockey in Los Angeles at KHJ named Humble Harv. And Humble Harv used to do a show every day in midday. And his wife used to call him up when he was on the air and tell him that a guy was over in their house, in their bed, and she was having sex with him. She would call him up and taunt him because she knew he was on the air. She knew he couldn't leave. She knew where he was, and she'd call him up and taunt him. One day, Humble Harv said enough. He recorded an hour of his show. While the recording was on the air, he went home. He found his wife in bed with her lover, and he shot them both. Yeah, he went to jail for 8 years, but I bet he was a hero in jail. And he was such a good disc jockey that the second he got out of jail, he was hired by Mike Phillips at K-Earth in Los Angeles. Revenge is sweet, I guess, as long as they serve dessert in jail. Barry, welcome to Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT. How did you catch somebody cheating on you? But Barry, I know you want to talk about something else. What do you want to talk about, Barry?
Okay, I want to talk about, well, on a previous show that you were talking about that night people tend to be innovators. Can you give me an example of some night person and the innovation that they came up with?
Thank you very much for your call, Barry. T.J. Lubinsky. T.J. Lubinsky produces all of those concerts that you see on public television, all of them, and he owns them. He owns them. For 25 years, those great Motown acts, disco acts, doo-wop acts, all of them are produced by T.J. Lubinsky. All of them. And he owns them. That was his innovation. But you know what? T.J. Lubinsky does not go to bed until dawn. He sleeps in the day. He stays up all night. Most great inventors are manic. Most great inventors have hypomania. They can't go to sleep until the sun comes up. That's their innovation. Their innovation is that they need the solitude of being alone at night. The gift of being up all night is that you and I have solitude. No one's bothering us. We come alive at 11 o'clock at night when the earth gets quiet. We're alone in the 18-wheeler. We're alone on the long drive on Route 80, the Garden State Parkway, I-4 in Florida. We're alone. And it's only when you and I are alone that we can come up with the ideas that work. Because only when we're alone can we think them through without somebody bugging us, bothering us, without the phone ringing. This is our time. If you happen to go to work at this time and you're working on the late shift, the third shift, it's also a special time because HR isn't there. Never has an HR person shown up at 1 in the morning. It's never happened. There's no greater killer of ideas than an HR person, just their very presence, their very embodiment ruins ideas. Soul-crushing people. Here are the forms. Fill out this form. This form is very important. I promise you, ladies and gentlemen, no form is really important. There's no such thing as a form that's really important. Today, I went through hell. Do you have kids in college? Did you have to fill out financial aid forms? Did you have to fill out FAFSA forms, F-A-F-S-A, FAFSA forms, federal government money support, scholarships, grants, loans. Do you have to fill out those forms? There's nothing harder. These are the hardest forms ever made. Only the federal government would come up with these forms. Now, why are these forms hard? It's the simplest thing that's the hardest part. It's signing on. because in order to actually file the form, both the student and the parent have to sign off. But they have to sign on separately. I'm not kidding. They have to sign on separately, put in their own credentials. It is hell. That's how I spent too much of my day. And then I studied the water in the basement and tried to figure out how to get rid of it, because it isn't enough water for a pump. It's enough water for towels, but just a little too much water for towels. And you know what the washing machine and the dryer doesn't like? They don't like wet towels. It doesn't like wet towels. You put a big, heavy wet towel in the dryer or the washing machine, it'll make terrifying sounds, and you're afraid that the belt is going to break, and it is. It will break. And then if you leave it there too long, what happens? It starts to smell like the cats were there, and they may have been there. And then the other thing I did today was I tried to load the dishwasher and get every single cup and spoon in, every single one. And then I started thinking about the 28,000-year-old virus that they found in the permafrost in Siberia. And that prompted Tony to call about the pandemic. Tony, welcome to Sterling on Sunday at 888-688. What do you mean just disconnected? You probably disconnected 10 minutes ago. 888-688-WALT. That's right. We got to keep the board up to date. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. I was sharing about the fact that the hardest thing to deal with, especially at this time, is when you and I think about when we've been cheated on. Cheaters ruin our lives faster than anything. It isn't even so much the act. It's recounting in our minds, how long did that go on? Who was it with? What were they doing? And then discovering it on a text, like Anna Kendrick did, that is the lowest of low. Has this happened to you, that you discovered a cheater? How did you discover that cheater, and what did you do? 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Coming up on Drive Through Brew, there's good news and bad when Jake goes to see a really, really long and stupid movie with his old high school crush. Don't miss the fun right here on Sterling on Sunday.
Colonoscopies, mammograms, and well visits. A medical update from the Gaffney household coming up.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
When you call my radio show, please, please, please turn your radio down. Don't do with me like you sometimes do with Walter M. Sterling. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned radio host. I'll explain later here on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Ron Puffio.
And the pocket fisherman's handle is its own mini tackle box.
This is Drive Through Brew, and I'm J.J. Wilson with a question. Don't you hate really long movies? I mean, movies that are so long, you could walk out early, drive home from the theater, do a load of laundry, drive back to the theater, and still catch the last 12 scenes? Yeah. Turns out our friend Jake doesn't like them either. Let's listen in as he and his boss at the drive-thru discuss a recent cinematic clunker.
How was your weekend, Jake?
Okay, except me and my brother wasted half a Saturday seeing a really stupid movie at the mall.
What was it?
A horror flick called Revenge of the Lab Rats Part 2.
I didn't know there was a Part 1.
Yeah, there was, and it wasn't bad. But this one was even too bloody for my creepy brother. Plus, it was over 3 hours long. I got a backache from sitting so long.
No wonder. 3 hours.
Know what? I'm done with stupid sequels. I'm done with super gross horror movies. And I'm done with any movie that's more than an hour 45 minutes.
Right. But that was before Perky. Yeah. Bryn Beaumont showed up. Oh, dear. The girl that Jake had a crush on in high school.
I
Well, look who's here. Hi, Jake. I haven't seen you in months. Where you been?
No place, just here.
You have my sympathy. But listen, a couple of my friends and I are going to hang out at the movies on Friday. We want to see Revenge of the Lab Rats Part 2. You want to come?
Lab Rats, huh? Well, sure, I hear it's a really good show.
Long, too. Over 3 hours.
All the better. I love long movies, especially long horror flicks about disgusting rats.
Right, look, cut him some slack. You'd say the same thing if you were desperate and worked in a beer barn, but forget that. Listen next week for the semi-encouraging post-date report.
Hey, Jake, how did things go with, what's-her-name?
Kind of good and kind of bad. The good news is she didn't puke during the show.
Ooh, what's the bad news?
She really liked the movie and wants to see it again. As soon as our backs heal.
Ouch. Next time on Drive Through Brew, Word Car speaking.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
So my wife here thinks it's funny that when I'm out with one of our kids, we have 8 kids, a lot of people think I'm out with my grandchildren. They go, hey, I have my grands, too.
Okay, you have to admit it is a little bit amusing. A couple days ago when we were out, it happens all the time. We walk in and people ask if we want separate checks.
All right, I'm a little older than you.
Just a little, and I just, you know, I just happen to have such a young, youthful look about me.
That's right.
It's funny because we have like this wide age range of children and we're a little bit different in age. I mean, our kids go from 6 years of age to 31. That's a pretty big spread.
My wife's gynecologist, she was having a procedure done. And the gynecologist said to Becky, oh, your dad's waiting for you out in the waiting room.
Right. And I
talking
actually,
about me.
I got a little teary. I was like, my father came to my surgery. I can't believe my father's here. And then you come walking in like after I have this surgery and it's you. It's not my dad. That was the first time I think it happened, but it has happened quite a few times after that. So anyway, there's a huge age range in our household. Our kids go from 6 to 31. And I don't know whether we're, you know, still at the place where we're losing teeth and going to well visits with the kids, or we're just totally and completely moving on into colonoscopy land.
There is a wide range of medical things happening. The colonoscopy, the mammography, the cancer screens, and then kids are still getting vaccines, for goodness sakes.
If all goes well, at least maybe they won't be in diapers and you won't be in diapers at the same time, honey.
Ouch.
The Gaffneys. They live in a 150-year-old house, and they have 10 children. Can you imagine that? That's quite a household. I love being with you. I hope you enjoy these shows. These are remarkable radio shows because they are, one, live. They're never repeated. I don't believe in best ofs. I believe that a best of is immoral. It should be illegal. How can you have a best of a live call-in talk show? How can you have a best of a call-in talk show? Because the minute it airs, it's dead fish. It's old-fashioned the minute it airs. My website is Walter Sterling Show. And the best podcast you are ever going to hear is Sean Speaks. Look up Sean Speaks. Wherever you get your hot podcast, and that is our producer, Sean, who has a very different worldview than you, and I hope you get to enjoy it. But what is this? What do we want to do with this? I love this song if we get to hear it. Well, I guess we're not going to hear it. I was asking too much. Oh, here it is. All right. Have a great week. I'm Walter Sterling. The email's waltermsterling@gmail.com. waltermsterling@gmail.com.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.